Hello and welcome to another episode of the Business Spotlight series. My name is Claudia Thompson and I'm here today with Anthony Villis, the Managing Director of First Wealth. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, nice to be here, Claudia. How are you doing? Okay.
I'm very good. Why don't you start and tell us who you are and what it is you do?
Well, I'm Anthony, so I have two things I do really. My main business is a financial planning business. I'm managing director of First Wealth. Set that business up with my business partner, Robert Kaplan, 15 years ago. So yeah, financial planning mainly for business owners, entrepreneurs. We do planning, investments, and sort of coaching, soundboarding. So yeah, that's the main business. We also have a second business, which is a newer business, is more of a sort of startup fintech. What we're trying to do there is to make financial advice more accessible and more scalable, so that the people who often need good guidance and financial advice can access it in maybe a way that financial planners can provide in a slightly lower cost, slightly lower touch version of what we do. So yeah, they're the two things that keep us busy.
Yeah. And you've obviously been going for quite a while and you're starting another business. So, what would you say is your secret to growth, or what would you attribute your growth to?
Good question. I think being pretty clear about what you're trying to do, I think is one of the key things. We set off with being in mind to be a really good financial planner, and just gradually looking to improve. So constantly looking to refine what you're doing in terms of your delivery, the sort of the service you're offering, your networking, the people that are with you. So I think probably often I drive the team nuts because we just build something and it's like, right, how do we do things better? How do we improve it? So I think that's a big part of this success, not to rest on your laurels, just to try to keep moving forward. And a lot of it just comes down to energy, I think, to be honest. I think there's running a business is a roller coaster. You get some real highs and quite a lot of lows. And I think just being tenacious and just trying to keep going. So whether it's going really well or going really badly, just to keep the energy, keep bringing the energy, keep going, keep motivating your team, keep pushing forward. I think it's easy to lose sight of what you're trying to do when, particularly when things aren't easy. So yeah, energy is a big one, and improvement, constant improvement.
And you mentioned your team there. What were your biggest learnings as an employer?
I think you've got to trust people. I think is a really important one. You've got to be able to delegate work, and then you've got to just be confident enough to just let those people get on with the work. And also to understand that everyone does things differently and everyone thinks differently. So I think one of the things I've learned is it's very easy. I think it's easy to make yourself comfortable by building a team of people who look and talk and look at feel like a bit like you. But actually, I think a better business is one where you're building diversity, cognitive diversity, the way people think and the way people act. It might challenge you, it might make you feel more uncomfortable, but being surrounded by alternative views is a good way to grow because I know that I'm not always right and I'm often wrong. So the answers are often within the team. And I think the ability to surround yourself by people who have different ideas and then to listen to those ideas is probably something that we've got better at over the last few years.
And on that note, so if you're looking to hire people with different ideas, what is it? Because you probably can't put that in the job advert. So, what are the
No.
skills or abilities that you are looking for in employees?
I think it's kind of like really as obvious as when you interview someone, you talk to someone. It's not like you've got someone who just tell you know if they're saying each other things that you agree with or they're the way you think. Often that would have been the easy way. Oh, they think like me. They've got the same ideas. Right, you're in the job. You're perfect. You're the next me. And I think for years we probably did it like that. And I think probably a lot of businesses still do it like that. But like probably not just in business in general, in conversations in general to go, right, is there another way of thinking about this? Then invariably there is. And does that person come with other ideas? Yes, they do. And rather than just dismiss them as they're not the same as mine, this sort of confirmation bias, so it's different for me, therefore it's wrong. It's like, actually, is it right? could there be a better way of thinking? Are there other ways of thinking about that? And so first of all, welcoming the additional decision-making or the additional ideas, and then potentially putting those people in your team to challenge you. And that's the point. That's when it becomes slightly uncomfortable sometimes, because you build yourself with people who go, are you sure you're right? Or is that, rather than everyone's like the yes or yes, 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 no, is there a better way? Could you do it like this? Is your way of thinking the right way of doing it? It does lead to better outcomes, but it's going to be more uncomfortable because you get challenged more. But I guess that's the point of being, maybe being a good boss, is to accept the challenges and acknowledge that you're not always right. And often other people have the best ideas.
And how do you foster a positive and productive work environment? And how do you, I guess, create that environment where people feel comfortable to challenge their boss, basically?
I think you just have to make it clear that everyone has a voice, and actually I'd more frown on people not to speak up and not to tell us what they're thinking. I always make the point is, like, if you don't tell us what you're thinking, then you're never going to impact your role or your business, right? Because I can't read your mind. That's pretty clear. I can't do that. So we've got to give the opportunities for people to speak and to voice their opinions. So we do lots of different things. So, you know, I will constantly reinforce that message. We have a shadow board where the team can feed into a team of four other, like a sort of second board that will be from the team's perspective going, right, these are things that are going well. These are things that we're not comfortable with. These are things that are frustrated about the business. That can be either anonymous feedback or it can be from someone. So it's kind of like, right, we're managing the business, but the whole team has a voice to say, right, if there's a channel here to push that forward. We have a session, we have a quarterly update where we sit around and everyone just talks. I mean, we're a fairly small business, we're 25 people. So we can have that session around talking about, right, what's going on, who have different ideas about things. And my job really is to try to keep my mouth shut, because it's so easy to, right, I think this and I think that. And so the ability to go, right, this is not my moment. This is everyone else's time to speak. And then we do an annual employee engagement survey where, again, people can be honest about, you know, what they think is going well, what they think isn't going well. I mean, we scored 85% in employee engagement score last week, which is really good score. Very happy with that. But even within that, there's a lot of stuff that we, you know, a lot of valid feedback where it's either, right, you're not doing this very well, or we're neutral about these things. So we need to take away, you know, again, it's that easy thing. Or we can pat ourselves on the back for getting an 85% score, or we could go, right, there's 15% that we've lost here. So probably the answer is to do a bit of both, to say, well, yeah, we're doing all right, but there are things we could do better. How do we listen first and repeat back to the team what they've said, and then not just repeat back what they've said, repeat back then what are we actually going to do about it as a business? Because I think with all this stuff is, if you ask for an opinion, people will give it to you if they believe you're going to do something with it, and you soon lose credibility if you don't do anything with it. So that's it. It's kind of ask for the feedback, encourage it, and then complete the feedback loop, I think is probably the things we're trying to do.
Wow. Sounds like you're definitely doing something right there.
Yeah, we're doing all right. Yeah, I think we've got a strong, engaged team. You know, are we perfect? No. Is anyone perfect? Definitely not. So, you know, can we do better? Yes. So, yeah, it's just trying to, like I was saying earlier on, it's just trying to refine and, you know, just trying to make us a little bit better each year, really.
And what do you think are some common misconceptions that people have about running a business?
I don't know if it's a common misconception, but, you know, I think it's hard. You know, that's the problem. It's a really good question. So I sort of sit on a bit of a fence with this, right? I think there's a lot of stuff. You go on social media and everything's, oh, being an entrepreneur is so difficult, and it's not, you know, don't bother, and it, you know, you're just better off. And I think sometimes you almost create this, people like to create this image of what they're doing is like, you know, so difficult that no mortal could try it. And I don't know, I just find that a bit strange, because it is hard, but it's also massively rewarding, and that's the point. So, you know, the ability to choose who you work with, to set your own agenda, to create what you want, you know, to run your own business, it comes with stresses and strains and headaches, but it's also massively rewarding. So I think, you know, it's fine to have a bit of a whinge, but also I think people need to understand what a privileged position it is. So I sort of I've got a lot of fans at the time for the LinkedIn post about, you know, here's why it's so difficult to do what I do. Is, you know, it's not easy, but there needs to be more of a balanced view on these things, I think.
And speaking of balance, how do you balance your work persona or your work time and your personal time?
Badly this year is the answer to that question. I think my normal answer to this is really around, you're never really in balance, so you're constantly out of balance. And I think, you know, it's kind of like, right, family, work, personal things, they're the sort of things that are going on. And you got, I think whatever you're doing, there's going to be times where your family's getting more of your time or you're getting more of your own personal time, and sometimes your business is just taking over. We've had a very busy year at work, so I've had to accept that is what goes on. So I think the first thing to do is to realize that there's never constant balance, because if you're trying to find constant balance, you're always going to be upset because it doesn't exist. And just to go, right, constant balance is, overall, if I get a decent amount of time for me and a decent amount of time for my family and a decent amount of time in work, then that's fine. But at no time you're going to be in here. So, I mean, I try to just set rules around. I like working early. I'm quite happy to come down here at 6:30 in the morning and start. But I try to finish at 4:30 when my daughter gets home from school. I normally don't do a lot on Friday afternoons. I'm in London 2 or 3 days a week, and then I work from home Mondays and Fridays, so I've got a bit of time at home. I never work at the weekends. That's one of the rules I've set myself, and it's very, very rare that I'll work in the evenings as well. So probably just trying to set some agenda around, you know, your hours, your days, and then just accepting that it's never going to be a perfect balance.
Just being honest.
Yeah, I just think, again, it's this sort of, you know, the pursuit of something that's perfect that doesn't exist, it just seems like a complete waste of time and energy. So if you accept that it's never going to be perfect, then you're going to be less upset. So that's probably an easier way to do it.
Yeah. And that brings us to our last question already. If you had to start again from square one in business, what would you do differently? Or is there even anything you would do differently?
It's a really good question. There's probably a load of things we would do differently. I think probably maybe more, we've sort of just grown organically. You know, I've sort of, you know, you sort of meander around a little bit, you know, what feels right and what feels wrong. And I think that in any business, that's got to be something you do. I mean, I want to encourage my team to take some risks. You know, if you play safe all the time, you're never going to develop anything. You're going to be never innovating anything. So not everything's going to work, and that's kind of fine. It's like, it doesn't work, let's try to change heart. But I'd rather fail at a few things and make things work better. So, you know, could we have been more structured and more deliberate with our business from day one? Right, this is what we're going to achieve in the first year, 2 years, 3 years, perhaps. Is that actually realistic? I don't know. We've sort of grown steadily. We've done well. Could we have done better? Perhaps. But again, it's hearsay to some extent. So you don't know. But it's been a good journey so far. So I would change some things, but nothing major, I don't think.
Okay. Cool. Thank you so much for sharing your bits of wisdom and your experience with us. How can people find out more about you? How can they get in touch?
Probably the best bet is just to find me on LinkedIn. So Anthony Villis on LinkedIn. Most of my stuff is there. First Wealth, obviously the website, and obviously Open Advice has got a LinkedIn page, but openadvice.co.uk, firstwealth.co.uk, our website. So yeah, if you want to message me on LinkedIn, I'd be very happy to hear from you.
Cool. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.